What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Jack Thompson, newest member of the Hounds. Jack's going to give us some insight into how the team is preparing for this weekend before Kev and I break down the upcoming game against FC Montreal. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
Jack, welcome to the show and welcome to Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. We are very excited to be here.
So yeah, I guess, yeah, just jumping right into it, Jack. I mean, it seems like you've probably been here for maybe a week, if that. So first and foremost, welcome to Pittsburgh. One of the first questions I like to ask, especially for newcomers, is, you know, I like to remind myself as a fan that you players are people as well. And so I'm sure it's been crazy and hectic for you getting into Pittsburgh. And I'm just curious, you know, how are you settling in so far into Pittsburgh? You know, have you found a place you want to live yet and all that kind of stuff? How are you finding the city and how are you finding kind of life around the club?
It's been good. I mean, like you said, it has been very, very crazy. I just got married a couple months ago. So
hey, congratulations.
Thank you. So for my wife and I to pick up where we were and move to Pittsburgh, it's been a whirlwind, and I would say we are still in the process very much of settling. We are kind of in transition, in limbo as we find a place to live. But overall, you know, we have felt very, very welcomed by the club, by the team, and just felt good about being in Pittsburgh. I haven't spent a ton of time in Pittsburgh, mostly because I'm from Ohio. I'm from Cleveland, and thought there's nothing ever good to come from Pittsburgh. But I have definitely been, I've mistaken myself in that thought, and it's been a great transition. You know, it turns out over the last week and a half since I've been here, Pittsburgh is a great city with a lot going on, a lot going for it, and it's been fun starting to explore and enjoy that, my wife and I. So it's been good overall, but definitely still in process.
Yeah, I it seems that people who are from Pittsburgh just, you know, genuinely we dislike Cleveland, but the people who actually go to Cleveland and see it, they're like, you know, it's not that bad. And it seems like the flip side is true as well, where Cleveland just doesn't like Pittsburgh, but then the people who come here are like, it's okay. So we won't hold the fact that you're from Cleveland against you. So it seems like, you know, Coach Brandt sort of came in and then immediately this deal went down. Can you give us some insight into what was going on behind the scenes to sort of bring you to Pittsburgh?
So just as a background, I played last season in Charlotte. It was my first season in the USL, just out of college. And I had a great experience in Charlotte playing, overall. But I came to a point in life where, like I said earlier, I was getting married. I had some different things on my heart, on my mind, and it really thought that I was going in a different direction. So I thought that I wasn't going to be playing this season, taking time to help with the transition of getting married and all that stuff. And so my wife and I actually had moved from Charlotte after the wedding up to Ohio, where I grew up. And we were both happily working jobs there. And then, you know, we got a little bit of a wrench thrown into our lives when Coach Brandt took over and contacted me and you know, said, hey, is there any possibility of you coming to trial here and coming to train with the team and see what it's like? And, you know, through that process, you know, I came in with the team and trained for a week or so and got to know some of the guys and, you know, spent some time around Pittsburgh. And through that process, my wife and I decided to, hey, you know, this is going to be a great place to be. You know, there's going to be some great things happening in Pittsburgh and we want to be a part of it and play a role. So, you know, I was excited at the opportunity have an impact on the field, to play again, to do whatever I could to help the team continue to get better. And, you know, the stars just kind of aligned for us, and the process has gone pretty quickly since then. You know, so here we are, and we're just, you know, all in right now, which is great.
What a story. That's great. So you kind of mentioned previously right there about your kind of past playing career. So there's an obvious connection with you and Coach Brandt through Messiah. But from the research we've done, you didn't actually play under Coach Brandt and Messiah. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. It's a little bit of a funny thing because we know each other very well. My older brothers played for him at Messiah. I played with his son at Messiah, who's a very good player himself. So I've had a relationship with Coach Brandt, and he knows me well as a player. Before going out to Charlotte, I actually spent a month or a little bit over, you know, at the Naval Academy where he was coaching, training with him and his team there, just prepping myself for preseason last year. So he definitely knows me well as a player, you know, almost as much as anybody. And so, you know, it was fortunate for me that he was interested and, you know, letting me be a part of what's going on here in Pittsburgh. And so this is really my first week of actually playing for Coach Brandt, which some people have thought, you know, I just played for him at Messiah, but that was not the case. So I am very excited to actually be playing for him now.
Right. And I was a little curious actually. So, you know, so he left a couple years before you were playing in Messiah. I'm curious, if did he leave like somewhat of a legacy at Messiah as far as like a playing style of how you guys still like to play in Messiah? So I'm just curious as far as like maybe, you know, you fitting in out of the Riverhound system, fitting into a Coach Brandt system. Is that something that you're familiar with? Is that something that you kind of picked up at Messiah?
Yes. With an asterisk, something that's important about Coach Brandt is that he is very adaptable as a coach, and so he's definitely not locked into one specific system, style of play, that it's just, you know, no matter what happens, this has to be what it is. I think even from time at Messiah through his time at Navy, he's definitely evolved as a coach, and his system and his style has evolved as well. With that said, though, yes, He left an incredible legacy at Messiah that they are still benefiting from today. And while the style we played at Messiah isn't exactly the same style that we'll play here at Pittsburgh, the things that are similar and that that haven't changed with Coach Brandt are like just his foundational team values. The importance of having, you know, the team, the sum greater than the parts, and it being all about the team and not about the individual, and having guys with character who are more concerned about their teammates than themselves. Like, those are things that have been Coach Brandt from the beginning, and I understand and have carried from Messiah to Navy and now to Pittsburgh, where you know, he's implementing these values into us. And while there are, you know, on the same vein, excuse me, there are a lot of things in his style and system that are similar and that I'm familiar with. And so in those sorts of senses, it's been an easy transition. Like, those are things I picked up at Messiah and, you know, are benefiting me now. So yes and no is my short answer to that long explanation.
Well, we've spent a lot of time here in the interview talking about Coach Brandt. Let's talk about you. We saw flashes of you playing. You know, you obviously got subbed into the last game. What would, you know, if you were to explain yourself or describe yourself to the fans in Pittsburgh, you know, what would you say your ideal position is? What are your strengths as a player? How do you like to play personally?
I think my, you know, on the field, my most comfortable position that I find myself in are out wide on the left. Just being a left-footed player and spending a lot of time playing as a winger in college. That's just most comfortable for me. So whether that's in the midfield or at outside back, or that's where ideally I like to find myself. But you know, overall, I would say my biggest strengths as a player are that I'm extremely competitive, and I'd like to think that I have that just raw grit, hunger, passion to win and to play well. And you know, I'd like to think I always have that growth mindset of, you know, always knowing that there are areas in which I can grow and I can get better in. And so, you know, being able to continue to develop, for, you know, wherever I find myself playing. Now it's here in Pittsburgh, you know, it's every day trying to find ways to get better as an individual. And so I think that sort of attitude is a big strength of mine. And you know, whoever's watching our team play and watching me play, you know, they can always just expect that, you know, I'll be the type of guy who is given absolutely everything he's got for the team. And, you know, I like to pride myself on being that type of player. So that's how I would explain that overall.
That's about the best thing I could have heard, to be honest. That's great. It's great to hear. So yeah, you got some time as a sub in the last game. And so just curious, how did it feel to be out there playing again, playing with your new teammates and playing for Pittsburgh?
It was a little surreal because the nature of the USL, and it was a little bit different last year. There weren't as many teams in the Eastern Conference. So we played at Richmond a couple times. I think we played them at least four times through the regular season. So it was a group that I was really familiar playing against. It was just different looking down at my uniform and being on a different team, but, you know, I was just excited to be back out there, with this new team and this new situation. And, you know, despite the negatives from the game, you know, overall, I think we were able to learn a lot about ourselves as a team. And, you know, it's a experience that I value, you know, getting into the game last weekend, just, you know, kind of shaking the rust off, getting the butterflies out, and, you know, just happy to kind of get that first game out of the way with the new team and just be able to hit the ground running going forward from here. So I was definitely excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, in it was impressive that you were able to sort of step in a lot of ways make an impact as quickly as you did, especially since, you know, like you said, you had sort of stepped away from soccer for a little bit and you were just sort of getting yourself back into the groove of things. And we actually talked in the last show about, you know, the players that made an impact, and your name definitely came up. So that's really impressive that you were able just to sort of step in and contribute right away. FC Montreal comes to town this weekend. Is there anything in particular the team is doing to prepare for them or to prepare for the game this week that you can shed some light on?
Yeah, I think overall we are definitely mostly focused on us as a group and us continuing to take steps forward as a group. And for us, that means continuing to train in our system and how we play and how we want to play against anybody, and even specifically Montreal this week. And so, you know, what that looks like for us is working on the shapes that we want to have both offensively and defensively, continuing to communicate better as a group, and just continuing to have more cohesiveness between our whole unit. So overall, we are mostly focused on what we are doing. But with that said, we've taken considerable time talking about who they are. They're a good young team that is well organized and, you know, defends really well and can break quickly out of their defense. And so we are, you know, well aware of how they play and what we'll have to be doing this weekend, in order to break them down and get a win. So, you know, that's kind of what this weekend looks like going forward and what we've been working on this week.
And so, yeah, last question before we have a bit of fun here. You know, this upcoming weekend, don't know if you know this, but it's Star Wars week for the team. So we just thought it'd be fun. Who's your favorite Star Wars character and why?
I've got a bad confession to make. I've not seen Star Wars.
That's all right.
I don't have a favorite Star Wars character because I'm not that naive. So my favorite Star Wars character would have to be Yoda. Nice. I don't know why. Maybe he's just the most eclectic and different sort of character that is a part of Star Wars, and so that's who I would pick initially. I should probably try and binge on some Star Wars before the weekend so I can be well prepared.
Hey, you can't beat Yoda. You can't beat Yoda.
And I would be impressed if somebody shows up dressed as Yoda at the game this weekend. That'd be pretty cool. So one of the things that we like to do before we let you go is we've had a number of other interviews, a number of other players on, and we do what we call the lightning round, where we basically ask a number of A or B questions. So, you know, just this or that. And we time you. We put 30 seconds on the clock and we see how many you can get through. So right now, the leading scorer in this game has been Corey Hertzog with 11 points. And Hunter Gilstrap is sort of bringing up the rear with 7. So if we're going to ask you some A or B questions, and your number to beat is 7 at the low end, and if you pass 11, you'll be the leader amongst all of the players that we've had on so far. So are you ready for some A or B type questions?
I'm ready.
You didn't sound very ready, but that's okay. We'll go for it anyway. Kev, do you have the clock ready?
I have the clock ready. All right, I'll count it down.
Yeah, give us a countdown, and then we'll jump
right in. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, long ball or short pass?
Short pass.
Derby or Darby?
Darby.
Cook at home or eat out?
Cook at home.
Pass or shoot?
Pass.
Cleats or boots?
Boots.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
High socks or low socks?
Both socks.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Turf.
And that's it.
Oh! what do we got? 8?
You got 8.
Nice! Nice.
At least that wasn't as bad as Hunter.
I was going to say, you beat Hunter and you tied Drew Russell. So you guys are both sitting on 8. So that's awesome. Well done. Well done. Again,
thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Everybody, you can go follow Jack on Twitter at Jack3Thompson. Jack, yeah, man, thanks again for joining us. Best of luck this weekend. It was great having you on. Hopefully we can have you on again in the future.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Good talking.
We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Mongols, on Facebook at Mongols, and email us at howl@mongols.com. Any questions, comments, or reactions read on air could win you your own Riverhounds jersey. Thanks!
And we're back. Okay, that was a pretty good interview.
That was a really good interview.
Like a really cool guy.
I mean, it was really nice of him to take the time. Being in here maybe a week, just over a week maybe, and still looking for a place. Just got married. I mean, you know, the fact that he's able to take time and talk to us, for us to get him to know him a bit better, that was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So everybody, make sure you support Jack when he's out there. New guy in town.
And we got to convert him too. I mean, he's from Cleveland, so we got to bring him over to our side. So
this is true. This is very, very true. So yeah, everybody, make sure you're pointing out restaurants that put fries on everything, just to ease the transition for him, get him used to the city. Let's talk a little bit about FC Montreal. So Montreal, we talked about it on the last show, they're the bottom feeders of the league. As of the last episode, they had 3 points. They now have 4 points, so they're creeping closer to us.
Whew.
They got 1 win in 1 draw in 12 games. They actually played TFC 2 earlier today at 11:30 a.m., which 11:30 a.m., whatever. Like, I don't know why we're playing games at 11:30.
I'm wondering if it was a game that got rescheduled or for something. I don't know. I can't imagine there was much of a crowd there. But yeah.
There was a lot of talk on Twitter about the fact that for both teams, it's TFC 2 and it's basically Montreal's B team, that they don't really care about the kids. It's just get them out there and get them playing time, and they don't care if there's people in the stands, which that's one of the drawbacks of the USL that we've talked about and we're going to be talking about in upcoming shows and some things that we have planned. So just something to keep in the back of your mind.
Maybe they just do things a bit different up there in Canada, too.
They drink Tim Hortons while they're playing. So the Hounds game this weekend will actually be Montreal's third game in 7 days. So that's something just to sort of keep in the back of your mind. They may have some tired legs out there. Their game this weekend that I went back and watched was against FC Cincinnati. It was on Saturday. They lost to Cincinnati 2-1. The biggest takeaway for me in that game, there was nothing that I really saw that stood out to me. The biggest thing is just the team's inexperience overall. The average age of their starting 11 is not even 20 years old. It's 19.9 years old. Their star striker that everyone makes a big deal about, Ballou, who I think only has 2 goals on the season. He's number 54. He's only 17 years old. So this is a bunch of young kids that they're really just trying to get out there and get them used to playing at a higher level so that they can hopefully pluck them and integrate them with the first team. I think, if anything, one place that we could really exploit is their backline, because A, their backline is short, and B, their backline is really young. The average age of their backline is only 19 and a half years old. Their one, I think he's a center back, Thomas Müller-Jäger, is only 18. So again, they're just sort of throwing these guys out there into the fire and helping them to learn on the fly.
Going along with all that, as you mentioned, 4 points. I want to say they've scored 7 goals in 12 games. 12 games played, 4 points on the board, 7 goals scored. Their leading goal scorer has 2 goals. Their leading assist leader has 1 assist. And so, yeah, and they're a bunch of young guys. But, at the same time, we always set this up as, this could be the game, and then we, have lost a lot when we say that. So I don't know what to think.
So here's the thing. I don't want to downplay it. It's very easy to look at this team and say, okay, they're bottom in the league. They have 1 loss and 1 draw.
1 win and 1 draw. Yeah.
Or 1-1 and 1 draw. Sorry. They have lots of losses. But one of the things that makes this team dangerous is that it's clear that they aren't putting an emphasis on winning per se, but what you have is you have a lot of young players who are trying to show off individually, because they know that if they perform well individually, that improves their chances of being called up to the parent club in the MLS. So what you have is you have a lot of these young players who are trying to make magic out of nothing on their own to impress coaches and impress the staff, which in some ways can be dangerous. In some ways it plays to their detriment, because they end up holding onto the ball a little bit longer than they should due to inexperience. But
it sounds weird saying that, their biggest threat is that they don't care if they win. Like, that doesn't sound intuitive, but you're right. I mean, with that kind of mentality, where development is really at the forefront of their mind, if they go on a bad run of form, it's not going to affect them as much as it would, say, us. We've seen it's, I mean, for me, it's obvious that the Riverhounds, they're playing with extremely low confidence, and that's showing on the pitch. Whereas a young team like this, and who aren't that bothered maybe about winning, allows them to go and play with a bit more freedom. But yet they still have that incentive of wanting to impress and try to gang up to the first squad. As unintuitive as it sounds, I would say, the fact that maybe their first focus is not winning could potentially just be something new to think about and potentially turn into a small strength for them. But
And I think another thing that we can't overlook is the fact that we are the bottom two teams in the East. So neither one of these teams, the Hounds or Montreal, are going to want to lose this game. It's a different story if Montreal is playing like Louisville, who's at the top of the table, and they expect to lose. But there's a little bit of bragging rights going on here of these guys are only 2 points ahead of us. So if Montreal beats us this weekend, we are now the bottom feeders in the Eastern Conference. Like the swing, it just happens.
And I'll say, I think that puts more pressure on us, though. Because what they're doing is trying to, it's back to what motivates you more. For them, it's getting out of the basement. And for us, it's the possibility of slipping into the basement. And so, yeah, I don't know. But hopefully the fact that, we're at Highmark maybe gives us a bit more of an edge. And that it's Star Wars night. So, you know. The Force will be with the River Hounds.
What do you think, Kev, that this that the Hounds will need to do well in order to get a good result in this game?
I mean, it'd be great to see us come out quick. I mean, an early goal, I think, kind of kills this as a contest. If we can get up on them quick, you know, they've only scored, what, 7 goals so far.
It's like half a goal a game.
Yeah. I mean, so if we get up on them early, their confidence can't be too high. And with their youth, you know, with experience, maybe more experience helps you kind of fight your way out of tough situations, like being away from home, like being a goal down in the first 20. Whereas a more youthful setup, that's more difficult to kind of handle and kind of bounce back from. So, I mean, yeah, as far as, you know, Jack mentioned, they're really trying to focus on their game this week and not really worry too much about the opposition. But if there is one thing that I think you might want to kind of change your game for is, I think coming out strong could really be really beneficial for the team. Hopefully heads drop for them and our tails go up and we can, you know, and I also think, you know, one goal might start a deluge of goals and we start getting 2, 3, 4, which, you know, I don't want to be too optimistic, obviously, but I mean, that could really turn things around. A big win, turn things around. A win slowly turns things around, but a big win, I think, kind of, you know, puts us a big step forward going into these next couple of matches.
And I've said this before that, you know, I always come into these things like we can absolutely win this game. And it's I've said this. I still believe in my heart of hearts that we have the players to go out and win any one of these games. It's just putting the pieces together. I think that the big area that we could exploit against Montreal is that back line. So, like I said, they're short and they're inexperienced. Actually, in the last, not really two games, but in the last 3 games, not counting the game they played this afternoon, they've given up 3 PKs over the course of 2 games. So guys are getting into the box, and these defenders, not really knowing how to handle it, are just taking the fouls, and they're giving up PKs. So I think the way that we've been playing in terms of the 1-2 touch passing and just trying to get into position, we may end up getting ourselves a PK out of this game. If you start trying to link up some of those 1-2 passes and Corey starts to break free, you might see somebody take him down, either Corey or Dwayne Ewert, who knows. The other thing that I think we could take advantage of is this. The last time we played at Highmark, there was a lot of working the ball into the corners with Drew Russell and Jordan Morrell, and then them having the option of either dropping it back or crossing the ball. And with the height difference with their back line, I think we could exploit some headers and maybe put in a few headers as well. So I think that's 2 different areas that we can sort of get the edge on them. When they come to attack, I don't see a lot that's threatening. I mean, we'll have Sergio Campbell back. We'll have Hunt back. I'm not concerned. I know there's a lot that's made out of Ballou, their 17-year-old. But honestly, it's been 2 goals all season. So it doesn't terrify me. I think we can shut them down defensively. So I think, realistically, I think we could come out of this game with a clean sheet, and I think we can come out with a win. And to your point, this could be the game that starts the momentum shift, that starts rolling in the opposite direction. We've said this for, like, the past 6 weeks, but
what would you, like, want to see, I think, in this game, like, specifically? Like, for example, you know, we have 2 new signings, and Earl's and Jack. I mean, I would love to just see him on the pitch. I mean, nothing gets me more excited than new signings. And one, I mean, even though Earls doesn't really feel, I mean, he feels like a new signing, but obviously we've seen him play before. But yeah, I want to see these, you know, these new guys that we brought in. I want to see them on the pitch. I want to see what they can do. And so, I mean, especially, you know, given if we want to get the ball wide and swing balls in, you know, Jack seems like he's all about that game. So yeah, I'd like to see what he can do. And so, I mean, that's just another kind of added thing that I'd be excited to watch for this upcoming weekend. Is there anything in specific you're looking out for?
I mean, I think honestly, if this were to play out storybook fashion in my mind. I would like to see us start with the same starting lineup that we started with in the last game. I think that'll be the third game in a row that we have the same sort of starting, aside from the goalie situation, which I don't know what's going to happen there. But I'd like to see us continue to work on that cohesion, continue to work on that team chemistry by keeping the same players. You start to get a better understanding. The more you're pulling players in and out, the less you have that understanding of where players are going to be. And you have those situations, like you said, you know, last week where Okai's passing the ball 12 yards behind Russell. So you want to have that understanding. So I think we start with that. I would love to see us go up, you know, 2 goals in the first half, and then you come out in the second half, and that's when you start working in, you know, get Danny Earl some time. If Jack isn't starting, get Jack some time. Start getting other players in so they can sort of start taking part in the whole confidence building and really growing this team, getting them minutes, getting them used to playing together. Yeah, I mean...
No, I mean, that's a really good point. You're right. I mean, I forgot the kind of level of excitement I got when I saw the team sheet for the last game. And saw it was the same
like,
name. Yeah, I was like, this
what?
Is great. you're absolutely right. I think as eager as I am to see Earls and Jack, it would be nice. Because, I think you're right. I think team chemistry is something that's been kind of lacking all season. And hopefully we can start building it with more consistent lineups and more consistent performances.
Yeah, I agree. So, Kev, give us your prediction. How does this shake out?
I don't want to. Like, I don't even want to anymore. All right. I mean, yeah, let's say I'm going to say 1-0. I'm going to say 1-0 to the Hounds.
1-0
to the Hounds.
1-0 to the Hounds.
And I'll say a Campbell
shot.
Goal off a corner. We whip it in.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Campbell comes back from the red card, puts one off a header.
Exactly.
I like that call.
Yeah.
I think that's a good call. I am going to say 3-0 to the Hounds. I think that who gets the goals? I do think that set pieces are going to play huge for this, in which case I do think that Campbell, who else? Branson, if Branson's in, I think they could each pick up one. I think the Campbell goal is a good call. I think Corey gets one, and who knows? Maybe even Kevin Kerr puts one in, to sort of get the
who knows
get the crowd all riled up.
I feel like I just have to play that card now. It's like it's been given to me. I just have to play it now.
I'm sorry, I teed it up for him. That's on me. So that's our prediction. I think if we get a clean sheet, that would be fantastic. I think if a 1-0 win, I would be thrilled with that. My number one thing is let's just get the W. Let's get the win. And then in descending order, it's clean sheet. And then it's as many goals as we can possibly get. We talked about this team sort of lacking the confidence, lacking the swagger. Like I said, I'd love to see us come out and say, we're going to score 10 goals. And anything less than that is just a failure. And just have them have that confidence of, we can score 10 goals on this team. Let's do it. Let's just go do it. I'm still behind the team. I still think they can pull it off. So, yeah, the game is this Saturday, 7 p.m., Highmark Stadium. It is beers and brats night, and, as Kevin mentioned, it's Star Wars night. So there's beer sampling starting at 5 p.m. The Star Wars fan club, the 501st Legion, will be there in costume taking photos. Fans are encouraged to wear their own Star Wars gear to the match. If you have costumes, T-shirts, whatever it may be, go wear your gear, take pictures with the team afterwards, make sure you put them up, share it with us on Twitter and Facebook. We would love to see them and share them with everybody else. But I think this is the game, Kev. This this is the game. Not the last, you know, 11 weeks, I've just been kidding.
Don't want to say this again. I don't want to say this again next week.
I've been lying to everybody for the last 11 weeks. This game is the game where we get the win. You can quote me on that, and then we'll revisit it, you know, Saturday night and see what actually happens. But, Kev, anything else on your end as it relates to this game or anything else in general?
I mean, Kevin Kerr, I still love you. Sorry for giving you a hard time. So now we're stepping out of Josh's 3-game grace period. So let's get the ball rolling.
It'd be amazing if after that three game grace period, it was just like a switch was flipped, and they literally win like 8-0.
I mean, he knows
like
his stuff. That's why we brought him on. So yeah.
No pressure, Josh. No pressure at all. We're counting on you and your predictions. So, all right. Well, if there's nothing else for Kev, I am Mike. Hounds, let's go get it done this weekend. Everybody, get out there, wear your Star Wars gear, go taste some beer and brats, and have a great time. It's going to be an amazing night. Have a lot of fun, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.